bad words come out, we are still responsible as believers to obey the truth and not listen to the irresponsible, deluded, delusional, and wicked false prophets. We still have a responsibility to work out our own salvation and to learn enough of the word that we know the truth. Then there'll be dissension. In other words, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Boy, isn't that what we're seeing for the last, all around the globe, there's wars and rumors of wars and fighting, and we even have infighting within our nation. You think that isn't part of the birth pangs to see things that's happening like in Ferguson, Missouri, where they're trying to build back up the racial strife in our nation and have riots in the streets and things of that nation? We come through that in the 60s, didn't we? Birth pains. Signs that Jesus is coming. And you may not believe it, but I do. There'll be dissension, wars and rumors of wars. There'll be devastation. There'll be famines. And we're hearing about it all the time. There's famines. There's a lack of food around the world. We have enough food to feed the world, but you can't even get it to some of the nations. It gets there, and it's quarantined, or radicals get hold of it and don't distribute it to the people. So there's starvation in many countries because of that. Then there'll be disease, pestilences around the world, different diseases, such as the Ebola crisis that seems to be right now in West Africa, that's trying to infiltrate other countries. So we know that there's diseases that are being unleashed around the world, and people are being affected by that. More we see it, doesn't it raises panic, doesn't it? Might cause us all to panic. Then there'd be disasters, such as earthquakes in different places and war. Well, even Oklahoma have earthquakes now. I never thought we'd have to worry about an earthquake in Oklahoma. I thought tornadoes would be the worst of our. I'd rather face a tornado. I see it coming. I kind of can gauge where it's going to go. I might even be able to outrun it. When you're laying in bed at night and all of a sudden you hear this rumbling coming, you don't, what in the world is that? And all of a sudden your whole house shakes. Well, it puts a little fear in you. Let's read the scripture. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be this sign of thy coming and in the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall be many, be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Father, we bless you today and thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide it, and we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Now, as we begin today, I don't want you to become fearful or be dismayed. I don't want you to leave here afraid. Okay, no matter who you are, no matter what your age is, I don't want you to live your life in fear. That's not what the point of this is. I'm not trying to scare you to get saved. I'm trying to tell you this is what I believe the Word of God bears out, spells out for us, so that we can be prepared for the coming of Jesus in the clouds when he steps out and calls us home, the church. These are things that we can see that the tribulation is near. So that means if the tribulation is near, then the coming of Jesus is even nearer. The rapture is even nearer, much nearer than when we first believed. We must continue to trust in God to bring us through one way or another. Okay? Continue to trust God. Will you have to suffer for His sake? I believe that's a possibility. Will it get much worse than what it is before the rapture of the church? I also believe that's a distinct possibility. Will life go on like it is? Yes, but these things will begin to be more and more prevalent preceding the coming of Jesus. We are kidding ourselves if we think we're going to escape any type of persecution or any type of disruption of our normal lifestyle. We have been blessed to live as long as we have without these disruptions. But these things are things that we can look at and as a church know that the end is near. That Jesus is coming for a bride who has their wedding garment pressed, not just hung in the closet, but on their bodies with their eyes looking to the eastern sky, expecting that any moment and living like any moment, Jesus could step out, the trump of God sound, the dead in Christ rise, and all who remain be caught up together with them. Amen? So that's what I want you to focus on. Not that the world's getting worse, although it is, but that Jesus is soon to return for the bride. Hallelujah. And I say it like this a lot, and I believe it. I do not believe that the bride is going to go to the wedding with black eyes and bruised all over her body. You're not going to go through the tribulation. You're going to, however you come through this, you're going to come through it. You're going to be adorned as a bride that's going to go into the presence of her husband for eternity. We're about to get out of here. So, let's look at this. Verse number 9. Death. Today, death. Verse 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my sake. They will deliver you up. Revelations, the 2nd chapter in the 8th verse. Let me look over there. And he's speaking to the church at Smyrna. And he said unto the angel of the church at Smyrna, write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, these churches, these seven churches in Revelation, and we went through them just here about a year ago now, and we intended to continue, and we were going to jump back into that probably after the first of the year, Lord willing, and finish out Revelations again. These churches are churches that will be an example of the type churches on earth preceding the coming of Jesus. So this is another type church, and this is what he said to them. Write these things. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Who is that? That's Jesus. The first and the last, who was dead and now is alive forevermore. He says this, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. I know that you're going through these things, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Or can I say it like this? I know the blasphemy of them that say they are the church, but they are not the church. They are of the synagogue. They are of the church of Satan. Okay? I want to say it that way. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Does it mean, Pastor, I may go through some things? I believe he just said, fear none of these things which you shall suffer. That's what it says. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. That you may be tried. Now, do we not see that today around the world? We read about, we hear about modern media or the mainstream media don't say a whole lot about the martyrs for Christ. They don't say a whole lot about those being held captive in different nations and thrown in jail simply because they are proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people all over the world, some probably being arrested even as I speak, and will be tossed into jail without trial and be held there without bail maybe for years simply because they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, we may get, might ought to get ready. Our nation is getting to a place that we might end up in jail one day for speaking out and teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thus saith the Lord. But it's happening now. He says, don't fear those things which you shall suffer. You will go, some will be cast into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and he that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You ought to shout. You might go through it, but you're not going to be defeated by it. You might suffer, but one second. You might die, but one second into eternity. All the pain, all the tribulation, all the trial will be over, and you'll be in the presence of the Lord for eternity, and he says you shall not suffer the second death. Do you understand what the second death is? That is hell, fire, and brimstone. But Jesus said you won't suffer that if you'll suffer for me now. Come on, church. Let's be the church. So we're going to go through some things. Believers since the beginning of time have suffered for Jesus Christ's namesake and for his witness. As suffering from him and his word are an important part of our faith. And you might as well just get ready. We've been babied. We've been pampered. We've not had to go through some things in America. But I believe with all my heart that we may have to. I don't know it'll get as bad as it is in some foreign lands, but I believe the crunch is coming. I believe that it's beginning to tighten down even as I speak today. They'll begin to monitor our website, and they'll begin to listen to what pastors say. And they may walk in here one day and say, you're done. Let's go. I don't know what might happen. I hope it doesn't. But if it does, I have to be ready, and you must be ready to suffer for his name's sake if that's necessary. We don't like that. But we know it's coming. We see tribulation approaching as the church is being persecuted, and true biblical values are being challenged every day, dramatically challenged every day. Just look at Houston, Texas, just recently in the news. I don't know if any of you have heard that, but the mayor of Houston is a lesbian. Out of the closet lesbian, and she passed some decrees with her city council that five different Houston pastors would cease and desist from what they were preaching concerning homosexuality, that they would deliver their sermons to her, they would deliver the transcripts to her and their sermon notes to her, and they would determine what they were going to do with them. She's had to back down just a little bit, but I'm telling you, the precedent is being set. When they okayed the Supreme Court by not to following through the will of the people concerning same-sex marriage, they've set precedent that that's going to be the law of the land because of radical liberal judges who have no right to declare what the law is. We voted no same-sex marriage in America in Oklahoma, but they've shot that down. I don't know exactly we didn't win our appeal. So now the will of the people, and that, folks, I don't hate homosexuals. I want you to know that right now. I do not. Some of you have, I have homosexual loved ones myself. Many of you do. We don't hate them, but it goes against God's word. But so does adultery, fornication, lying, and stealing. There's a lot of things that we name that is sin, and that one, although it's called an abomination, will not get you into hell any quicker than any of the rest of them. You must be born again. And if you're born again, you refrain from those things that displease God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I just want to throw that in. There is still hope. There's still hope. So we may have to suffer for him. the same-sex marriage thing, the abortion issue that some 1970s that they passed. We have killed countless millions of babies and called it abortion when it was simply, simple put, it was nothing but murder. If you've had an abortion today, God still loves you and will forgive you and has forgiven you. If you ask Him to, He will forgive you. We're not angry at that either. But we're going to stand up for righteousness and holiness. We must love what God loves and hate what God hates. I've got to move on. That's point one. I haven't got very far in it yet. Around the world, the church is under persecution. We know that. But while we in America seem to refuse to engage the enemy, we don't want to have to fight this fight. We, the church in America, just kind of want to leave it to the politicians and to these fringe groups, when really we should get into the trenches ourselves as a church and fight these battles, if nothing more and nothing less than pray. If that's the most we can do, we need to at least pray. We can't even get, I'll leave that alone. Recently, a poll was taken. I seen a cartoon a while ago, and you may need to do this, and the pastor and his wife had come up with a way for her to inform him to keep him on track anytime he started chasing rabbits. She had a sign. Basically, it was just a rabbit's head on a stick. She'd raise it up. You get on a rabbit trail, I'm going to let you know. Hey, you're on a rabbit trail. Get back. I have a habit of doing that. So, and not always a bad habit. Sometimes it's by the Spirit of the Lord leading you that direction, okay? It's not always bad. But anyway, a poll was recently taken, and Americans were asked what they thought their main purpose in life was. Most of the people responded. The main purpose of life is enjoyment and personal fulfillment. You know what's sad about that? 50% of the respondents identified themselves as born-again Christians. 50% of those who responded said, I'm a born-again Christian, and the purpose of my life is to enjoy myself for my personal fulfillment. That's wrong. We're here to serve Jesus. We're here to lift His name up. But you see, we have designed ourselves, we have designed the gospel to fit our selfish needs instead of radical obedience to pick up our crosses and honor Jesus. When we talk about persecution, we begin to cringe. Many begin to pull back. Some even begin to say, if that's what it's going to be, I don't want no part of it. Can I be honest and just frank and open and want all those things with you? I don't want no part of it either, but it's a part of it. I don't want to suffer, but I got to be ready to. And if that's what it takes, that's what I must do. I can't pull back because I'm going to suffer or suffer. I'm going to be wounded or suffer some type of life-taking thing. I have to be willing to die for Jesus. And so do you. It's not all about your personal fulfillment. I'm glad that you can be personally fulfilled. I'm glad that God meets your needs, supplies all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm glad that you can, you know, we can worship freely today and not be worried about somebody coming in with AK-47s and arresting us. You know, I'm glad for that. I'm tickled to death about it. But we must be understand that we are not, we may not, all, we may never face it, but it's possible the way things are going that we will. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. We've got to be ready to honor God with radical obedience. You see, when people in other parts of the world, Christians in other parts of the world, hear about Americans, how we complain about the persecution we face, they are tempted to laugh at us. Because we really don't suffer persecution for Christ's sake. But they do. They do. You can see a video recently, and they sent a suitcase of Bibles to China. Some of you probably saw that. Those folks are starving for the Word, and I probably got 15 Bibles or more. I get to counting them. I've got a lot of Bibles. Almost bought another one the other day because it's a new version. I didn't. Another new version, so I thought I'd buy me another Bible. I didn't buy it. I refrained. They put that suitcase of Bibles in front of those Chinese Christians, and they were fighting. They weren't really fighting. They just swarmed it. They just, from all directions, they just swarmed in there to get those Bibles out of that suitcase. They were so hungry for the Word of God. I've even heard about them taking those Bibles, the underground church, and tearing the pages out and sharing them. And then they all, they just keep sharing the pages. That way more people can get portions of the Word. They're so hungry. And yet we, probably most of us here, have more than one Bible in our homes. And very likely, many of those Bibles have dust on them. Some of you, your Bible never leaves the dash of your car. That way you won't forget it when you come to church. Some of you, the only Bible reading we do is when we're reading the scriptures here at the church. And then it might pique your interest for a minute, and you go ahead, instead of paying attention to preachers, you go ahead and read ahead. Do your Bible study while you should be listening to what thus saith the Lord. I got to hurry. I'm on point one. Let's go to point two. Number seven, there will be disloyalty. Verse 10. Whoops, that's the wrong chapter. There's a verse 10 there, but it wasn't the one. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now, folks, as we preach, as I'm teaching this stuff today, you in your mind cannot, you can, I think you are all smart enough, I know you are, to see what I'm talking about and understand it's happening now. It's happening now. You see it. But it's going to escalate as time goes on. The birth pangs are going to increase. And then once the church, he which now letteth, the letteth is a word that means withhold, he that now withholds this wrath, this spirit of lawlessness, I should say, is taken away. Can you imagine how bad it's going to get then when he which now letteth or withhold this lawlessness? And you know how lawless this world is getting now. Wait till the church with the Holy Spirit's influence is taken away. Can you imagine how bad it's going to be on day one after the church is raptured? It's going to get ugly. And it's going to get ugly fast. You don't want to be left here. So there will be disloyalty. Many will be offended and betray one another. Offended here literally means to cause to stumble, suggesting that many professing believers will fall away. When it gets down to this, and don't we see that today? There's a falling away. Some say, well, the church is really doing good and there's a revival. Not necessarily. I wish we could say there was a true revival, but if all the people they say are getting saved are really getting saved, the churches would be fuller than what they are. Come on now. They'd be fuller than what they are. If all these millions are getting saved and then they're under these major ministries, they'd be plugging into churches and the churches aren't growing substantially. All right? But there's a falling away. So many are falling away now. Can you imagine how angry they're going to get the day after the rapture? They're going to get angry. And those who even professed are really going to be angry because they got left behind and they won't understand how God could have done that to them. After all, they attended church faithfully. They paid their tithe, but they lacked. In that they weren't born again. They were going through emotions, but they weren't serving God. So they're going to turn against one another in shocking acts of spiritual treachery, suggesting that many of them were not even true believers. And let me put something in here. If you miss the rapture, it's going to be very apparent that you were not a true believer. Now, you had a form of godliness, but you denied the power. And the day after, and that's the people that a lot of them will get saved because make it to the end of tribulation and give their lives for Jesus because they had knowledge. They didn't act upon it, but after the rapture, they're going to say, okay, this is the only way I'm going to be saved, so I'm not taking the mark. I'm going to do everything I can to mess up the Antichrist. I'm going to die if I can. I'm going to die for Jesus. I'm going to look for opportunities. Come on now. You say, no, they won't. If I miss the rapture, I'm going to go up to them and say, hey, I'm going to do everything I can. Take my life, man. Kill me because of Jesus. You're crazy. Well, I am being a little silly there. But you understand what I'm saying? You have to give your life for Him. You might make it all the way through, but the chances are not very good. And if you do make it all the way through, you talk about persecution. You talk about tribulation. When you're going to experience all that God is going to pour out on this earth, as well as the man of lawlessness, the man of sin, the Antichrist, and the devil, who all of his power will be released on the earth with no restraint. You talk about getting ugly fast. You don't want to be left here. People are disloyal now. They're turning against one another now. 2 Timothy 1:15, Apostle Paul, he said, they all turned away from me. This is Apostle Paul. He's in jail. He's in prison. Know he's going to die. And different people he thought was close to him have turned their backs on him. And so, can you imagine how he felt with no hope of freedom? Nobody to help him there. The whole world had deserted him. He was seeing the gospel that he'd given his life for undergo persecution and desertion. Can you imagine what it's going to be in the end times? And we're seeing it now. The gospel is being persecuted, and the gospel is being deserted by countless millions of people every day. People are turning their back on God. Preachers are going off and doing things they hadn't ought to do. Church members too. Don't just sit out there all smug. They're going crazy. Turn their back on God now. Can you imagine what it'd be like when the restrainer is gone? It's just not going to be good. And so Paul saw many of the faithful was experiencing by what many of the faithful will experience in the last days. People turning against him. They're going to turn. People's not going to love one. The love of many is going to wax cold. There's not going to be no true love left. It's all going to be all about me and what can I do to survive. So we're going to see that. We see disloyalty now in the church. You can't get people to stay faithful to any one church. It's difficult. If they don't like what you preach, they go find another church. Even some larger churches in Shawnee, I've heard about just recently, two actually, basically just almost have split because changed pastors or this happened and their people aren't happy anymore. But they begin to preach the word, and people don't like it. They want to be their ears tickled. They want something that sounds good. Church, I need the word of God to dig me out. I don't know about you. I've got to be dug out. I want to hear the truth, even if it hurts. Because once the truth hurts, then I can get on the mend. It digs me out. It's like taking a cancer out, and they sew you back up. Then you can get on the mend. Start healing. Just dig me out, Lord. Get all of it out. But we're going to have to be loyal to the true faith and the Word of God. And if you are, you're going to suffer grief at times and as many abandon true biblical values. And so it's going to happen. Number 8, I've got to hurry up. I'm bogging down. Delusion. That word means to mislead or deceive. There'll be delusion in the last days. And don't you see that now? People, just like I told you last week about the a man down in Florida, and there's others all around that are preaching something. This guy, a Cuban-American, is preaching that he is Jesus Christ come to earth. And people are believing it. What about strong delusion? ESV says in verse 11, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. in the last day, after the church is gone, right during the tribulation, many false prophets will rise and lead many away. We see that now. All around our nation, all around the world, people rising up saying they are Jesus Christ, saying that they have the answer when they are false prophets. It's all around. So deception from the world and from within the church will be prevalent right before Jesus comes and then after Jesus comes. Well, we see that today, don't we? John 1 John 2:18, he said this, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come." Now, this is John way back then, 40 years probably somewhere like that, maybe, or maybe right after Jesus died, maybe 20, 30 years after Jesus has died. He says there's already many Antichrist, and the Antichrist is coming. They expected, the church lived in such a way back then that they expected Jesus to come within their lifetime. That's why they purified themselves. That's why they lived the best they could. That's why they continually watched for Jesus to come, because they expected him to come in their lifetime. And if they expected him to come then, don't you think the church in 2014 ought to be expecting Jesus to come now? And it's much nearer than when we first believed, so we know he's coming. So the last hour began with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and his return for the church could occur at any time. The last hour they're talking about began when Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised. That began the last hour, the last days. It began. So broadly, Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, is anyone that denies Jesus as Lord. That's what John was saying. There's many antichrists. There's many that deny Jesus as Lord. And as the days draw closer, nearer, false teachers and preachers will be exceedingly prevalent. Think about that in your mind. Do you know of a false prophet, a false teacher, a false preacher? That's maybe you see them on TV or you've heard about them. We hear about it all the time. If you just do any research at all, you'll find out about false preachers. And a lot of them are falling morally right in front of the public eye because they have large ministries, and they're falling morally, they're falling financially, or they're embezzling money, they're doing this and doing that, but the whole time they're telling the man, you can figure them out pretty quick if you just try. As the days draw close, it's going to be more prevalent. Much of the church will be in an apostate condition with very little loyalty or commitment to the truths of God's word and biblical righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a pastor. I see that all the time. There is an apostate church, people with very little loyalty. I already talked about it briefly. So many professing believers will accept the new revelation even though it conflicts with the revealed word of God. And we're seeing that. We see different denominations saying, well, we don't believe that's really what the word of God says. They are making it a lie, making it fit what they want to believe. When church, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Fact is, we're to read the word and apply the word and change ourselves to fit the word and line up with what thus saith the Lord. Not pick and choose what we will obey, but obey the entire counsel of the word of God. It's the truth of the word has been revealed to you, and you are responsible to obey it, not change it to fit your lifestyle. Believers must test the spirits. Look at 1 Timothy 4:1. I'm trying to hurry. I'm sorry if I'm bogging down. I don't mean to. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." That's what's happening in our world today. It's revealed by the Holy Ghost that in the latter times there's going to be a falling away. Ladies and gentlemen, may I suggest to you that this is the latter times, and you and I know we're seeing a great falling away. I don't mean to be hateful. I don't mean to be professing something that's not, but this is how I believe it today. We are seeing a great falling away. different people are no longer possessing a personal faith in Jesus Christ. There'll be people in the church, ministers in the church, who are gifted and mighty, seem to be mightily anointed by God, and they'll accomplish great things, and they'll preach the truth, the gospel effectively, but they'll depart from the faith and gradually turn to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And we've seen a lot of that start out pure, but before it was over, they had to resign in embarrassment and scandal because they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They begin to think they were something that they were not. Church, we have to be careful that we'll not be deceived or led astray. I don't have time to go from that, but many believers will fall away because they no longer love the truth. They don't want to resist the sin that will resist the sinful trends of the last day. They'll look to a distorted gospel and compromise themselves, and there'll be very little resistance in the church. And I tell you, I'm a pastor of 25 years, and I see where people can fall so easily and are led astray so easily, and it's because they're not reading the Word. Why do you think I tell you? Read the Word, study the Word, pray, seek God, go to church, find out what it says. It's because I'm concerned about your eternal soul. Number 9, I have to move on. I could stay there quite a while. It'd be very simple too. But number 9 is this, defection. Defection. It says, and that means, it says here, let me read verse 12 to you. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There'll be a great, I've already dealt with this some, there'll be a defection from the church. People will leave the true church and go do their own thing. It says, iniquity shall abound. In other words, lawlessness, unrighteousness will abound in the last days. Boy, we see that, don't we? We see people that are defecting from the church and following after their own desires and trying, peeping to themselves teachers with itching ears and not wanting to hear the truth anymore. There'll be an unbelievable increase in immorality, shamelessness, and rebellion against God. Come on, can I get a witness there? There'll be a mass, an unbelievable increase in these things. There'll be a casting off of all moral restraint in the last days. I'm telling you, church, right has become wrong and wrong has become right, and there is no moral absolutes in our world hardly at all in it. Longer. I mean, tell you what, some of us are trying to live morally pure. We're the minority any longer. This world has cast off almost all restraints. I heard of a person the other day, and they were in broad daylight having sex in their front yard of their house. In broad daylight. And they weren't married, but they were in broad daylight having sex out in the car with the doors. People saw them as they drove by. That's no moral restraint. They weren't married. Even if they were married, they'd had more sense than that. No restraint. Just do whatever they want to do. Like animals. Like animals. When animals procreate, they don't care who watches. Because they have no morals. God set no moral order for an animal. But He did for His creation. Mankind. There'll be an astounding amount of sexual perversion, fornication, adultery, pornography, drugs, ungodly music, and lustful entertainment. Come on now. It's all around us. It's permeated our society, our TV screens, our movie theaters, our music. Some of the music that children listen to today, the young people, it's vulgar. My dad thought my music was vulgar. My music was not vulgar. Mine was almost Sunday school music compared to the music today. The songs I listen to would be Love, Love Me Do. You Know I Love You. I'll Always Be True, So Love, Love Me Do. Now it's, I could give you a graphic example of what it could be now, but I won't do that. But you understand what I'm talking about, where we've come in society. lawlessness and unrighteousness is abounding. Shamefulness and rebellion against God. No moral restraint. Man's imagination will be on evil continually, as it was in the days of Noah. It'll be as it was in the days of Lot, when homosexuality, lesbianism, and all kinds of sexual perversion permeated that society. You know I'm telling you the truth. The love of many for Christ, His church, and even their own family will wax cold. True love will be in short supply as people are drawn away by their own lust. You know I'm telling you the truth. Strong, there'll be a defection from true morals, from godly standards in the last day preceding Jesus' coming. You know I'm telling you the truth. But let me give you some good news. A declaration today. He who endures to the end shall be saved. The end. Either the end of the persecution, or the end of when the Son of Man returns, or the end of one's life. It'll end. You'll be saved if you'll hang in there. You might not be saved necessarily from physical death, but you'll be saved from divine wrath and human persecution, and you'll go on to experience the full blessing of God. He that endures to the end will experience the true, full blessings of God. Amen. That's good news. You'll be saved. Hebrews 10:37 says this, yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Yet a little while. And he that shall come and will not tarry. Hang on. Hold out to the end. Jesus is coming. I declare that to you today. Only God knows when the task will be completed. But we're being asked to continually press forward to all nations until the Lord comes and takes us to heaven. We are commanded to preach the gospel. Let me read that scripture to you, verse 13 and 40. But he that endureth till the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. Only God knows when that task will be completed. But our task is to continually press on to all nations until the Lord takes the church to heaven. Then the end will come. Jesus talked to his disciples as though everything he predicted would happen in their lifetime. That's the hope of the New Testament church. It is the hope of all who believe in Jesus Christ. We must hope and believe that Christ will return in this generation. I believe we're going to see the coming of Jesus in our generation. I'm talking about our generation now. I'm talking about us who are alive. When he comes back, we'll be caught up together to be with him. I believe it's our generation. And we must live in a tension between the imminency of Christ's coming and the fact that he has commanded us to keep spreading the word. In other words, expect his soon return, but he live and work like he's never returning until he comes. There are no place to quit. No place to lay down your plow. No reason to look back. He says, if you look back, you're like a person you're like a dog going back to his vomit and a sow to her waller. Don't look back. That bother you? If you want to give up on God, he says you're like a dog that turns back to eat its vomit. What he says, an old sow goes back to its wallowing spot, the old muddy, mucky mire. You don't want to go back there. But one of these things, we see these things happening, these 10 things, you can be assured that the tribulation is near. And if the tribulation is near, then the coming of Jesus for the church is nearer. He's coming again. Then shall the end come when we see these things. Just ask you today, are you ready? Is your wedding garment cleaned and pressed? If Jesus was to step out and call the church away, would you notice or would you be left behind? Are you really paying attention to the signs of His soon return? If these things are signs of tribulation is near, and I'm convinced that they are, then the rapture of the church is nearer. The true church is nearer. Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. Stand with me.